Hello, everyone out there in podcast world. Hope you're having a great day. You're listening to or watching Service Business Mastery Podcast. I'm one of your hosts, Tersh Blissett, sitting virtually next to my co-host, Joshua Crouch. I've had to, we haven't been live on here in a long time either. So
we've been hanging out a lot lately, almost too much.
Yeah, probably. Yeah. We've been at tons of events and we've sat right next to each other doing lots of recordings. Pretty much all the recordings that are being released this year, we've been sitting right next to each other recording them. So it is fun to be in the office and recording like this, but it's also a lot of fun to record in person. But I'm excited about today's episode because we're talking to Mike Disney, who's a good friend of both of ours.
It's the Mike Disney. It's the Mike Disney.
Yeah.
And as you can see, I made sure that everyone in my house was prepared for this. We got three dogs on the bed over there, and even Brittany's joining us today. So Mike's going to bring a whole bunch of power to this episode because everyone's no super excited. You can tell they're already sleeping.
Right. But I'm excited. Disney's a cool guy. Everybody that knows Disney loves Disney. He has a ton of knowledge, been in the industry for a long time, and is amazing when it comes to anything operational or sales. And so super excited to have Disney on the show. Josh, you want to add anything before we talk about any of our partners?
Well, I just noticed that when I said his name, my dogs perked up. So they're pretty excited, Mike. I hope you're bringing the fire today.
Right.
But no, other than that, no, we're going to talk about a lot of stuff, operational. We're going to get the P&Ls, making sure you're priced right before summer. A lot of really good stuff. I know that right now it's mild everywhere as at the time of recording anyways, that this is very mild in the country. So there's a lot of people that are a little antsy, hoping to get some weather and some demand to kind of drive some stuff. So we're going to make sure that your business is set up for success when that weather does come.
Josh, what did you do for Valentine's Day yesterday?
We went out for dinner and we did a couple's massage. What did you do?
Oh, that's cool.
It felt good. It was much needed. We've been working with a personal trainer, so yeah. We've been pretty sore.
I didn't do anything. We actually went to a middle school, or not a middle school, a high school, and showed them how to do a podcast. So that was pretty cool.
Was the feedback pretty good on that? The kids probably pretty excited about that because they know what podcasts are, right?
Yep.
Are they too young? Excited. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh yeah, I'll share more about that later.
Next gen of podcasters.
Oh yeah, absolutely. They were very, very quick-witted people, and so it's like I couldn't get two words in. It was like eight kids in that class, and I was everything I could do just to get two or three words in. So it's like being around my kids. I do want to say give a huge shout out to Emerson. They're our newest partner. We just partnered up with them a couple days ago, and I'm super excited to share what they have going on to help the industry. UpFrog and Sarah, they're both amazing sponsors of ours and partners. And we've been hanging out with Billy the past week or so a lot. And Sarah has so much stuff going on, and it's really cool to see how they're changing the industry. And UpFrog, if you haven't ever met UpFrog, Justin or Noah or anybody from UpFrog, you need to reach out to them. Everybody that I talk to that asks us about UpFrog, whenever they actually experience working with UpFrog, they're beyond excited. And that's the feedback that
they do the one type of marketing that really can help you when times are slow. Social media and trying to proactively go out and grab people. Whereas right now, like what we do is Google, right? So it's a little tough when nobody's looking, because if nobody's looking, nothing's going to happen. But that's the other side of marketing where you get the proactive side and you start reaching out to customers and try to go grab them off the street, grab them, bring them into your world, and then try to obviously get in their house.
Yep. Last but not least, Company Cam, the digital asset management system, so that you don't have to keep all your pictures on your phone. You can keep them stored somewhere so the office can have them. And they have a lot of great stuff. I don't think we actually recorded a video with Company Cam.
Claire's too popular. We couldn't find her.
She was super busy. But yeah, super excited and thankful for all of those partners of the show. With that being said, I hope let's get started with today's episode.
Are you looking for valuable business advice to reach that seven-figure revenue mark? Do you want actionable tips to properly navigate through every business challenge you encounter along the way? Let Tersh Blissett and Josh Crouch be your guide in getting you to the top here at Service Business Mastery. Tune in as they sit down with world-renowned authors in business, leadership, and personal growth who share valuable insights about management, marketing, pricing, human resources, and so much more. Let their nuggets of wisdom gold guide you in owning a thriving, profitable, and ever-growing business. Here are your hosts, Tersh and Josh.
Hey, Disney, what's up, man?
What's up, boys? How are you?
I'm Mike. Good to be with you.
Good, good.
Real good, real good. You're busy, man. You're not even in your normal space.
No, I'm out west with all the people that like to chill and hang out. I'm out in Utah hanging out with some clients, so having some fun out west.
Yeah, and then you're hanging out in my new hometown here in a couple weeks.
Yeah, we're super excited. We got a service business growth in Phoenix. We're going to be at Warehouse 215. I don't know if you know where that is. So we're excited about it. You know, it's one of the things we've been doing lately at CEO Warrior. We've been traveling and taking the show on the road. So this is our latest version coming up first week of March or somewhere.
You guys haven't done this in Phoenix yet, correct?
No, first time in Phoenix. We went to Tampa last year and we ended up in Dallas. And now Phoenix is the next layer. So we're super excited about it.
It's going to be a good time for it. March is going to hopefully be great weather.
Yeah.
So everyone will get to enjoy that.
I'm sure it's better there than most places, so we're excited about it. That's for sure.
Awesome. So, Mike, we were chatting because, you know, every time we talk to you, we literally can talk about anything. So, trying to narrow down a topic, trying to narrow down like a one topic type of thing for a podcast with you is just it's very difficult. So, the question I asked you before, and this is, I guess, kind of where we start, is you obviously get a lot of questions from all of your members and different people that talk to you guys and your advisors and stuff. So, what types of things are you guys focused on, or what are you focused on with your members before we get into spring and summer and we start getting into that busy season again?
Yeah, I mean, the thing that we're doing most of the stuff that we're doing and we're hyper-focused on is really trying to making sure that everybody's dialed in on their processes, they're prepared with their budgets, they know exactly where they're going. It really comes down to operationally, are we optimized? What can we do to improve everything? Are the guys running the plays? Do the processes need to be reevaluated or do they need to be changed? Are some of them antiquated? And then are there some processes our clients don't have that our teams need to help them build and develop into their businesses? So really it's just like, you know, like, look, it's we've been in the journey at CEO Warrior for 8 years now, so it's been incredibly exciting. And our very beginning, we were so focused on helping people grow revenue and stay hyper focused on their mindset and being participants in their business rather than just kind of witnessing it. And now we're really focused on all of that stuff, but really hyper focused on the profitability of the business, the sustainability of the business. And man, just teaching people how to manage to a budget is really all you got to do in a year to kind of realize your growth and your scale. So that's really what we're focused on, getting people into the groove of just optimizing everything in their business.
Mike, do you think so? Obviously, when even before the pandemic, but the pandemic accelerated things, obviously growing in the home services space was not difficult, right? As far as like a top line, do you find that right now, because this is probably the first time that it's felt somewhat slow in like 3 years. There's like, normally we always have these peaks and valleys, right? But I see a lot more of this stuff now than ever. And I feel like people, they were riding that wave and now the wave is starting to crash and they don't really know what to do.
Josh, let me ask, or both of you, are you noticing that it's a certain size business or a certain, is there businesses that are too big or too small that are becoming or that are getting slow, or it like different levels of businesses that are getting slower? Or because the reason I ask that is we are a small business compared to a lot of them out there and we've been wide open. But this time last year and the year before that, we were dead in the water. Whereas our marketing hasn't changed much at all between those 2 years. So I'm curious why we're busier than others.
I don't necessarily know. Like as I think about it, and as I talk to the multitude of clients you guys know I have across the country and in other areas of the world, I don't know that it's a size reality, right? There might be some geographical things that kind of lend to some urgency with the clients. Man, I just think that, like, look, I think in all reality, we as human beings get distracted from certain things that are said out in the open, and there's doom and gloom coming for what's going to happen in first quarter, second quarter this year. Hopefully that'll be a quick exit. We'll spring back in third and fourth quarter, based on what the government distractions are, the other bullshit that we deal with on a day-to-day basis. I mean, in all reality, I think when call volume's down, right? Almost all of my clients are talking about low call volume. And so the challenge for us, right, as advisors and people that are helping people implement strategies in their business, is what are we focused on to make the phone ring? And if you're just doing the same old, to your point, Tersh, sometimes the same old is great because your people have needs that they didn't have last year, right? Maybe they didn't take advantage of stuff, and now they're predicated to getting it done now with urgency for them. I just think that some businesses, big or small, it's really your operational process. How are you talking to your audience? Are you looking at the right avatar? Are you there when they need you? And Josh, you were saying before we started on the call, on the show, we were talking about how you were saying that some people, you know, are they going out and reaching? You were talking about UpFrog and how they go out and get people instead of them looking. That's the things you got to be doing, right? Like a company like UpFrog, tracking down people to highlight the goods and services that are available, and why is the best time to get it done now? Well, what's the future bring? We don't really know. And so it's really about operational standards. And I really think it's about really creating the urgency in clients through the needs and recognizing all the volatility that we've had. And like, look, we, as Tersh, you were saying at the very beginning, during COVID, man, it was pretty easy. Right. We had all these price increases, yet all the clients wanted to buy our stuff, man. The clients needed us.
They were throwing money at people.
They spent so much time in their homes for 2 years. They knew every problem they had. So they were just willing to get it taken care of because they knew there may be this longevity or spending more time in the home. And quite frankly, we're getting a little bit back to normal. And so that's the reality for home service companies, right? The normalcy is kind of coming back. So now we have to get back to really kind of creating and cultivating, you know, the opportunities for our team and staff.
So let me ask you this. You mentioned we're getting back to normal, which is very true. One of the things that has kind of thrown a wrench in that is the fact that the announcement of the Inflation Reduction Act and the credits that are available and then different rebate programs, but it's very up in the air because it's I can only imagine the challenge that you have because you have different people in different states and different regions, and they apparently are, it's going to be state regulated. And right. So how are you telling people to handle that? And it was supposed to start January of this year, so a month and a half ago, but we still don't have clear, you know, direction on what to do. And I had a client yesterday actually ask us, like, yeah, I've read about this. Can I have the rebate? Are y'all offering this rebate or this tax credit or whatever? And so how are you telling your clients to handle that?
Yeah. So my advisors and I have some staff members that are looking at certain states where we have a multitude of clients and making sure that we're really up to speed on what's coming. But like, look, it's the government, man. They're slow to move on anything, right? We're kind of predicated to whatever they're willing to do. And then from a federal mandate down to state management, you know, that's a challenge and a tragedy sometimes.
Well, we talked we've had Chris Forth from Johnson Controls on twice. Sure. Yep. Very, very bright guy, very passionate. And he does a lot of these things where he goes to DC and he's essentially trying to figure out what the hell is going on. Right. And he was telling us, like, right now the government doesn't even know. And it might be in the hands of all 50 states, which could mean 50 different programs.
Yeah.
Based on the money that's allotted to them and everything. And like most things, government doesn't plan things out very well. I'm trying to carefully word that. Not that anyone from the government's going to watch any of this, but just every time they get involved, they jack shit up, and it is terrible for everybody involved. It's just a painful process, and unfortunately, you know, worrying about that stuff just causes extra stress because now you're trying to, customers are hearing one thing, you don't even know what you can do on the back end to actually fulfill that. So you may give a discount thinking you're going to get that money, and that money may not come until, I think Chris said, like 2024.
Yeah. And not only that, like we as a contractor are stuck holding the ticket on that. Mike, what do you tell people whenever that's even recommended by the government?
It's not a policy that you can practice if you want a sustainable business, period. Okay. I mean, the bottom line is you can't live in a world of maybes. You have to live in a world of reality. And so if the government comes up with rules and regulations that you could adhere to, and you know that there's a real, I mean, how do we know how much is even going to be available? How much are we going to be able, are they going to be able to afford? And so if we are holding the ticket on all this stuff and then we want to go cash in and we're banking on that, I mean, that's just silly. And so in business, you have to be really predicated on what's going on today. How do you create sustainability in your business today? And I'm never going to rely on the government to hold my hand and make sure that my business is sustainable and formidable. I have clients, and Tersh, you know these guys, but I won't mention names. They have competitors in their market telling their clients, wait until next year because you're going to be able to get these rebates. Like, who in the world would want to wait to fix their heating and air conditioning system?
What do you tell people whenever their competitors are giving this rebate and they're actually going to hold the baggage there? Or
yeah, I
mean, thank you, because they're probably going to end up losing people or being out of business because that's a lot of money wasted.
Well, I think what happens really, and you guys know this, right? Like some of these guys that go out there create confusion, right? Because they want to create this empirical opportunity for clients to say, oh my God, look how much they know and what they're informing me about. And in all reality, all they're doing is doing the client a disservice because by the time, let's say it is 2024 before funding is a reality. How do we know who's going to get it? How do we know what money's going to be available? How do we know that they just don't say, no, we don't have the funding for it today. And so now you get caught holding it. It's just not something that's reality. So the consumers need to be told. And look, our consumers are pretty savvy today. Information comes to them faster than it's ever come to them before. Quite frankly, they could Google anything in a minute, find it out themselves. And so the reality is we just got informed and we have no idea. So we can't be predicated on what the government wants to do. How would you live your household like that?
Oh yeah, exactly right. And it sounds a lot like the PPP and the other loans that they were giving out, and then they were guaranteeing X, Y, and Z. But then, like, we didn't need the cash. But then we were like, all right, well, let's go ahead and apply for it just in case. And then we went through this entire process that was a pretty extensive process. And then they were like, nope, all the money's gone. I'm like, you just wasted a bunch of my time. And if I really needed that money, I'd be in a bad situation.
Well, yeah, and I think that speaks to it, right? Like even the ERC money and all that stuff that's happening. Like
that's what I meant. Yeah.
Still piling in on, and the EID loans and all those other things. Like, look, if you're fast to the table, maybe you're gonna be made whole. But who wants to live in a world of mystery, man? Like, guys, I want to go out there and sell things and help people change their lifestyles in their homes. And I want all my clients to be able to create formidable businesses and help the community. And quite frankly, I think small business does more for the communities than these government loans will ever do anyway, right? So, I mean, you guys are both business owners. You guys are charitable in many, many ways with your businesses. And trade service guys are the most charitable in the world, right?
Oh, so yeah.
When they have outstanding, sustainable businesses, man, how impactful is that for their communities? And so, man, I don't worry about the government. When it comes, if it comes to reality, that's great. The state programs that work is when they force these utility companies to give back. You dial into what's there and you make sure you're delivering really great information to the client and be transparent. I mean, clients are—they're resilient. They understand the government half the time is full of it, and sometimes they're creating. Yeah. Well, I'm trying to be generous, Josh. I'm trying to be generous. Like, the reality is like some of these politicians create these programs just to force their growth and their ascension in politics. And quite frankly, all it does for us, especially business owners that are kind of put in the volatility of it, it creates massive confusion. And I just tell all my clients, stop with the distraction, run your process, get the perfect avatar, and serve the lights out of them, and they will love the fact that you're an amazing contractor.
What do you say that I want to avoid this, the confusion, avoid the rabbit hole of trying to do all the research to try and figure out all this information that's going to just change next week anyways. what do you, how do you have that conversation with your clients? Like whenever they ask you about it, do you just play, I mean, not play, do you just say, look, it's up in the air. Like, so I'm not even going to research it until they figured it out.
So we, for our clients, we're doing the research for them. So like I said, I have some advisors that are pulling some information from state to state to state, region to region. And so we'll do like a monthly kind of update, right? Like we just did some research on Maine. Maine doesn't even know what they're doing. They don't even have a clue. Like, it's like, what's the point? Right. And so we go to our client base, and you guys know this, we have monthly calls, weekly calls. And so in our levels, we have these calls that kind of talk about the ERC, and we'll just say, you know, here's what you should do here. And then we talk about the, you know, the Reduction Act, and we'll say, here, there is no real substance behind it yet. We're going to tell you what's going on. We tell them the dates and what's been predicated and talked about. I mean, we're not as formidable as guys that are going to Washington and kind of understanding through the lobbyists and the politicians of what the reality is. We're just kind of looking to what our state officials are telling us. We're diving deep into the state because that's what we're being told. They're going to fund it. And the states really don't know yet because they're waiting on information from the feds. And so the reality for us is, you guys keep doing status quo, go with business as natural, and we're going to bring you information. As soon as we have it, you're going to have it. And the reality is let's just focus on business and serving clients.
Yeah, I think that's a great.
How can people get information from you, Disney, other than reaching out to Josh and I? Like, go into an event like in Phoenix? Is that?
Yeah, I mean, obviously that's the first, that's where we really kind of bring people as an introduction into our world, right? The service business growth. People can reach out to CEO Warrior any way they want, CEOWarrior.com. Obviously they could go on there, my contacts on there, Greg's contacts on there. You could get involved, you know, you guys could message me through obviously the podcast and all that. But if you just go into, you know, see anything CEO Warrior, we have multiple Facebook pages. We have our website and all that. There's all kinds of ways to get a hold of us and contact us, and we can have deeper conversations. Servicebusinessgrowth.com talks about our events, which is we really believe the most transformative event in the industry for people when they come into our world. We don't, you know, we're not a rock concert, man. We're high energy. We have a lot of fun. We do some untraditional things. But in all reality, those 3 days, the roadmap that we help people build, the priority that we help them build, when we take strategies and help them optimize it for their needs, we really believe that our 3-day event is transformative in so many ways that so many other things just don't provide for the industry.
I think that one of the things whenever, because for those who don't know, I've been a member of CEO Warrior for many, many moons. I was a member there for.
You sound old when you say moons like that.
What does many moons mean? Is that like
many, many, many moons?
Sounds like you're from like the 1800s or something.
Many years I was a member of CEO Warrior.
You should have this gray hair that I have. And Disney has.
I no hair on my head.
Disney's is earned, though. I'm too young to have all this gray.
Yeah, you're young. I think you lost your birth certificate because you swear you're younger than me. And my like crayon on new birth certificate that says you're younger than me. Anyways, one of the things about the events is, yeah, it's very much the pictures that we see, the videos that we see. It could be perceived as a rock concert. I went to an event. Disney, I don't even remember what year it was. I went for the podcast. Stephen Christopher.
Probably 18.
Yeah, something like that. Because Stephen Christopher was there. He was going to the event. I almost said concert. He was going to the event. And I said, I was asking him about it. And he was like, man, you got to join. Or you at least have to come to this event because it's an informative event.
And
I was like, I will come as the podcast. Like I have the business at that time was Icebound. But I'm not joining. Don't even ask me to do that. I'm not going to. But the thing about it is everything that I was talking about on the podcast with everybody, it really was one central place for all of that information, and the roadmap kind of sold me at the end of the event. And that was just, it was really like, we even have it on our wall where you have your mountain and your boulders and your pebbles. It's just breaking it down. It just made it very simple
in
the communication that we had there.
It puts the important things in perspective and how long these things are going to take. That was one of the takeaways I had. And I would I guess one of the other things that I learned, because a lot of business owners that start their business, they have great ideas. They don't have someone on their team, especially when you're small and starting out, that is an implementer.
Right.
And what happened, so I was in CEO Warrior through my boss at the time, and he had a lot of great ideas, and I would go to these events, and my task was to implement. And when you have that relationship with the person who's the innovator and the implementer, that's when the magic really happens, because otherwise all you do is you have great ideas and you just keep shouting out great ideas and nobody gets anything done.
Yeah, for sure.
And I would challenge, and that type of stuff, when you're looking to hire people, there's a lot of assessments out there that can help you figure out how people think. So that way you can find someone who has high follow through or is a high fact finder. Yeah. And the one I'm referring to is Kobe, but there's a ton of them.
Sure.
But these types of things, the best thing I ever did for our marketing company, because I had a lot of ideas and I was changing stuff all the time. And I think some of my employees were kind of like, what the hell is this guy on? But yeah, I had an implementer, somebody who literally gets shit done for me, and she is amazing.
Every time
we wouldn't get half the stuff done if she wasn't here.
Well, every time we go to these events like this, my team would be like, oh shit.
Durst's gonna come back with a whole bunch of ideas.
Here we go. Not come back. If we just have to deal with this nonsense for about 2 weeks and then he'll forget about it.
Well, that's our biggest challenge. That's our biggest challenge, guys, right? Like here's the reality. We subscribe to over-deliver, right? That's really what it comes down to. We have a wealth of knowledge. You know our advisors. We got a ton of experience in these guys. And the reality is when we teach the content, we run through our process and we build it, we're fire hosing everybody, right? There's so much stuff you could take away. But the reality for us and what we've really built, like Tersh, you talk about the 90-day blueprint and the boulders, the rocks, the pebbles and mountains and all that. I mean, that's really what it's about. You only have so much time and you only have so much time in a quarter to get things done. And then you have to really kind of build priority in everything you need to implement. And Josh, to your point, man, you could have all the greatest ideas in the world, but if you don't put action behind it, it don't mean shit. It's just a waste of time. And the reality for us, you could come to our event and you'll have fun in 3 days. You'll have a lot of fun. You'll leave with some ideas. But if you don't create action behind it, man, it was a waste of time. It was a waste of time. I'm an amazing dude to hang out with. You don't need that if you ain't getting
out of it. We can both attest to that.
We have gone and we've gone through some shenanigans with Disney and the whole crew of people at random events that we've gone to.
For sure. I missed AHR, so we'll have to hear.
Yeah, I know we missed you there. Not that we would have seen you, because that event is enormous.
Wow.
We literally walked like 7 miles a day just to the podcast pavilion and back to the press room.
It's crazy.
But
it is. So, one of the things, really quick, Josh, before we change topics or anything like that, one of the things I really want to mention, the best practice group, your peer-to-peer group, not every group's going to be perfect for you, but get in one, like get in a group of people, get in with a group of people who are like-minded, because you are the people that you surround yourself with. And if it's not CEO Warrior, get in a group and participate. Don't just send a check every month, because I can attest, if you do that, I mean, it's not a magic pill where I send some money to this account and then all of a sudden my business runs better. You need to be participating in the group, you get in what you put in.
Or you get out, find a group that
works for you, and it'll make a massive difference in your business.
I think to that point, Tersh, which is, I think is an incredible point. Like, I think, listening to people that are talking about mentors and coaches, I mean, even the greats of the greats have mentors and coaches, right? So you can think about everybody. And in all reality, I think, like, when you are going to look for a best practice group like us or like another one of the many that are out there, you got to do your diligence, man. You got to interview, you got to find the right guy, have a great conversation, and recognize, are they a fit for you? Because, look, we are pretty high energy. We're not low energy. We're not low key. We're pretty high energy. But for us, we really believe we're the accountability group, right? We create that in our communication. We create that in everything that we do. And we try to create that, in our one-on-ones on a monthly basis of what they're doing, what they're getting accomplished. We have this new program that we're utilizing as we reach out to our clients that gives them homework on a repetitive basis based on their 90-day plan. And it's based, and the best part about it is they get to see the progress, and it celebrates the wins all the way around, which creates that, you know, that leverage momentum effect, right? So you either have consequence or momentum to getting shit done. And in today's business, man, why not just get things done, create better momentum off of that, course correct as you go? Because we all got growth and scale needs, right? Our businesses aren't going to be stagnant forever. If they are, we'll die.
Mm-hmm.
Well, and that's so I wanted to get into, because in the news, and getting back to this, we've seen a lot of big tech companies now, they expected even more growth from COVID than they got, right? So that's why there's layoffs. It's not that they're not growing. And I think it kind of puts a lot of fear in people's minds, like, oh, all these companies are laying people off. Am I missing something? Like, what am I not seeing, right? Because a lot of times we look at the big companies as like kind of a market indicator. The reality is they just didn't grow as much as they thought they were going to. They still grew. And what that does is it opens an opportunity, a lot of people that are going to be looking for a change. And one of the things that we talk about a lot on the show is hiring people from outside the trades. Yep. And bringing them into our world in a way that doesn't, it's not the old way where it was like, pick that up and just do what I do. Do exactly what I do and just watch me, right? You have to, just like Tersh was there talking to, I mean, a little different. He was talking to high schoolers about a podcast, educating your local community. We had a great conversation with Emerson about touching base with your local trade school or your local high schools and trying to set up a program. Get opportunities for these people instead of going to these tech companies, these software companies, because guess what? They're going to be the first ones that are going to use artificial intelligence and get rid of people. And those people are going to need to do something. They have to earn a living. And this is still going to be a great way to earn. Honestly, it's going to be one of the best ways to earn a living, because people that don't know anything in a couple of years, if they apply themselves, can make really good money. And at a young age can buy a house. They don't have debt, all of these things. But we have to start thinking more than just, well, nobody's applying to my job post.
Yeah.
And start going out. And I mean, I know you guys preach this a lot in what you guys do. And it's literally like a constant, always be looking for good people.
Yeah. I'll give you a take on what I think is the most important thing as we round the corner of 2023 and we start heading down the year and we look to the future, what it looks like. And that Emerson conversation you had about getting into the communities is the singular most important thing that business owners can do today. And here's what I believe. The thing that will offer comfort to your clients of why they should buy and consume your goods and services is your credibility and your authority. And so if you're not out in the community, you have zero credibility and authority, right? Just because you've got a wrapped truck that drives down the road doesn't mean people recognize the power of your brand or the power of what you do. And so you have to go out and give back, whether that's in a trade school, whether that's in a high school. You have to be on these Facebook pages. Like, Facebook is the greatest thing in the world, man. There is a Facebook page for moms for every town in the world. And so you want to give back? Go help them understand some things they should be doing better in their community, or some things that they should be thinking about that they may not have knowledge of. And so
I was going to ask you, Disney, like, what do you say to the business owner who is so busy? Like, we're in the trenches constantly. I know you just mentioned the Facebook groups. That's something you don't have to actually go out in the community and do, but
right. There's
going to be people who are listening to this and they're going to say, I am way too busy to go start a new networking group or something like that.
Yeah, they're too busy, Tersh, because they're doing shit they shouldn't be doing. They don't have an ability to delegate. They're doing mules work. They aren't prioritizing their time. Like, look, we always talk about time management and work-life balance. Neither one of them exist. Time does not need to be managed. There's 24 hours in a day, every day, forever. Right? We need to manage ourselves. And work-life balance is life happens and work is part of it, right? So the reality for us is, like, stop making excuses for why you're not doing it and start figuring out how to do it, right? Because if you think you can't, you are 100% right. You're never going to get it done. You're never going to evolve. You're never going to grow. And you've created your future. So for the business owners that are on here that listen to you guys religiously, I want them to recognize all the pain they feel today. Congratulations. You earned every bit of it. And so if you want to change, well, you got to do shit that's different. You got to change who you are, how you approach the day. And in today's world, you know, and Josh, you mentioned AI, but in all reality, think about virtual assistants. Think about hiring people remotely. You can get so much done today for a moderate amount of money, so you can free yourself up to do the things that really matter most for you, that really accentuate your business. And quite frankly, transform your family's lives. And so it's all about a desire and a want. But like we said about the 90-day plan, dude, we could talk about all the greatest things in the world to do. We already know what we should be doing.
You don't do them.
If we don't put action behind it, what's it matter?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, no, that's an absolute great point. One other thing I want to touch on, because I know we're, like we said, there's a lot of, we could talk literally about just about anything with you and have a great conversation. But so you mentioned that with your clients right now, because right now is that time to maybe do some internal reflection and also understand what get their numbers right, I guess, for lack of a better way. Just make sure that when the time comes and you're slammed, you are making that money and making it rain. So that way, when the next slow season, you have money in the bank, you can train your team, you can keep them staffed, if you will. What is that? What does that look like? I mean, what kinds of conversations are you guys having around that stuff? And because there's probably people listening to this that their P&L isn't even closely, it's not even set up right. So what kind of conversation are you guys having with your people?
Man, let's face it. Most of the business owners aren't even looking at their P&L, right? They're not even looking at it. So in all reality, I think, like, look, there's a whole lot to unpack with that question, Josh. So I think the thing that we recognize the most valuable thing that we can recognize with our clients is that we need them to recognize each and every time they go out and sell a job, there's a margin that needs to be assumed. We have to acquire a certain margin with everything that we do. So if we become a company that is predicated on delivering a gross margin and making sure we have conviction in our pricing, all that starts with our investment guide. All that starts with our pricing model. We have to go back and take a look, make sure it's delivering the sustainability we need, make sure it's got profit built into it. And then once we get it everything categorized, chart of accounts good, above the line, below the line, we take a look at the impact of all that stuff. Then we can really look operationally at where our deficits are. Is it in our deliverables, right? Do we book properly? Do we convert properly in the house? Do we offer multiple items per transaction in the house? Do we take our clients for granted? Quite frankly, I know that a lot of people have some conversations around membership programs, but if you're not selling a membership program, man, you are missing opportunity to put a fence around your clients and get them, encourage them to improve the lifestyle in their home. So it's really a holistic approach to everything you do operationally, but it starts with your financial responsibility to your business, understanding your cash flow, how it comes in and out of the business, how you acquire resources to buy new trucks, buy different marketing, advertisements and different layers. And I mean, like, look, even your budget, if you wanted to, like in today's world, you got to buy tablets for guys and uniforms for guys and trucks for guys. All that has to be budgeted out. Everything has to be budgeted. So if you're going to grow 3 million this year, how many trucks do you need? How many more employees do you need? How many other resources do you need? And if you're not budgeted for it, then all that means is you're going to be caught up in a business that grows with revenue without sustainability. And what's that mean for you? Added stress. You don't love what you do. And then guess what happens? The reality is it could if times got tough for a minute, do you have the resources to kind of navigate that storm? And for us, you know, having operating income in the account that you can kind of work through and weather any kind of storm gives you the confidence to really take advantage of all the opportunities that hit your table when they hit them. And that's a necessity as a business owner today.
Yeah, there's how, so you mentioned the P&L, looking at the P&L, not just treating it like some foreign object that you don't want to touch. How often should somebody be reviewing that, in your opinion?
Well, I think everybody should have a daily approach to their KPIs, right? I think when you look at your KPIs, you should be looking at them for function every single day. So when you get to look at the P&L, if you're looking at it on a monthly basis, you already know what the outcome is. You already know it. And so, you know, Rob Zadotti, you guys know my dear friend and mentor and one of the smartest dudes in the world that you'll meet. He used to tell me this story. He says, look, you got two choices. You could sit in a movie theater and watch the movie, or you could jump up on the screen and be an actor in it. He's like, so you should be looking at your KPIs every day. You should be dialing in on your results every single day, that so that when we have our financial meeting, you just sit there and listen because you already know the answers.
What would you, so you mentioned KPIs. Are there a couple KPIs that you would say are like the most important to be looking at on a daily basis?
Yeah. I mean, I think there's a million of them, but I mean, just to be broad stroking with it, I mean, we're living in a land of conversion, man. So if somebody calls your phone, do you book it at the rate that makes sense for your business and your budget? And then when you go to a home, do you convert in the house at the rate that makes sense, right? If a customer calls you, a plumber to a house, an HVAC guy to a house, they have a need. So there has to be a desired outcome, right? So is that 85% conversion, 80% conversion? And I don't look at industry average. You guys know that. I'm a baseline guy. I look for incremental improvement every day, and that leads to exponential result. So when we talk about what's the most important thing, every layer of conversion in your business, every single layer of conversion in your business is the singular most important thing. And that could be maintaining your staff and not losing them, right? Not turning them over. So what is the layer of converting retention year in, year out with existing employees? And then just the basic day-to-day conversion rates that happen all day, every day, you got to be looking at those things.
Yeah, I love that.
Yeah.
Looking at it day to day. That was honestly one. So as I transitioned outside, because the contractor world, I got really good at understanding what those were. When I started getting into digital marketing, I didn't really know what those KPIs were. That was like one of the hardest. We're getting better, but I'm still trying to figure out what those look like for us because it's a totally different game. But that was the one thing that we always did as I looked at those I would come in at the time we had Service Titan, and I would look at that stuff every single day on the dashboard. And if you don't have a software system that can do that for you, you need to get one that actually helps you understand your numbers better versus you having to take it, move it to a Google sheet, then figure it out. Like, it needs to be simple. And if it's not simple, you're not using the right tool for the job, at least in my opinion.
I think the one thing just to take away, and there's so many different things you should be looking at as a business owner. I think the big takeaway with that, and you saying looking at numbers and all that, data is the cash of the future, right? So if you have all your data in a row and you can really action things off of that, that's the most important thing. So when you ask the question about P&L and creating action off of it, man, it's just like me coming to a business. Like I'm at one of my clients today, coming to the business and sitting through a meeting. Let's say a service manager is having a tech meeting or a service expert meeting. Just having a conversation is not enough. It's not enough. Having them understand what the philosophy is not enough. There has to be initiatives and action items after every single meeting that kind of gets you based off of your data, your research, what you know, and everything should be predicated on improving wherever you are today.
Having those scorecards are that's the next level. And it takes emotion out of it if you have that.
Well, clarity and alignment is everything, right? And when you have a form like a scorecard that creates, you know, the process of KPIs along with skills and competencies, daily, weekly, monthly routines, and then quite frankly creating that level of alignment with expectations, what else is there in business?
Yeah, absolutely. Disney, we appreciate you being here and hanging out with us. Well, tell Chuck we appreciate him loaning you his office.
Yeah, loaning you for 45 minutes.
Yeah, because that's valuable 45 minutes of you your time. We really appreciate that. And is there anything else you want to add before we wrap things up?
No, I mean, I just wanted to say thank you to you guys and what you do and give back to the trades and all the different organizations that participate in serving what we do. Some really great, exceptional work, all of us, right? And for guys that are in best practice groups or doing podcasts like you guys and just offering really great insight into how to better businesses. Man, I'm happy to know guys like you that do this kind of work, and we love what we do at CEO Warrior. I know you guys love what you guys do in your multiple businesses. And so, man, I'm just privileged and honored to be part of it and be part of the equation.
Yeah. Well, we appreciate you being on here, Mike. It's always a great conversation. I will add one thing. I know that Caroline, who is probably one of your implementers inside your business, she did reach out to me. So if any of, people that listen to the podcast or my clients for Relentless Digital want to go to the event, I know it's only a couple of weeks away. It's March 7th through the 9th in Phoenix. Yeah. Reach out to me and we can help facilitate that, and I'll get you in touch with Caroline so you guys can come on out and one, hang out with Mike, hang out with me, and then we can, you guys can also learn a bunch of stuff over 3 days.
We'll change your thinking, I promise you.
Yep. Change that mindset. Cool, man. Well, I appreciate you. We appreciate everybody that's listening to or watching this episode. If you have any questions at all, don't hesitate to reach out to us. We won't bite hard anyways. If you do want to visit our website, there's a little box at the bottom of the screen where you can record a voice memo. Sometimes it's easier to do that than type out an email.
Tersh really wants people to talk to him, so he gets a little lonely in his office.
I talk to a lot of people. Sometimes it's nice to get that in return as well. I don't know. I don't know. Okay. Have a wonderful and safe day until we talk again next time. We'll see you later.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Service Business Mastery. Now that you are equipped with essential business advice from this impactful conversation, you are one step closer to becoming the successful owner of your dreams. If this episode has been helpful to your business journey, don't forget to subscribe to the show, leave a rating, and share it with other owners as well. Visit servicebusinessmastery.com to learn more.